Good day and welcome to Grace Hour, the daily program that takes us into the challenges of believers' faith and helps us to grow in a practical way with Christ. My name is Pastor Rinaldo Brown. I'm in studio today with Megan Ackerman on my right and Jamie Zucker on my left, and we're finishing off our week on how to raise godly children. One of the great challenges for Christian parents is raising their children, and surprisingly, there's a lot of time during the day that we don't spend with our kids. They're in education or other places, so there's actually a very small window that we really have to inject life and inject Christ into our children. Today's theme, today we're kind of talking about raising kids in the church, because the church is a huge part of how to raise godly children. It is the epicenter for Christian environment, Christian life, and it's the one place that you really feel that your kids are going to get exposed the most to Christian things. And that endeavor, today we want to kind of talk about that. We want to kind of bring that out a little bit and discuss how does my kids and my church interact. Also, too, if I'm a mother or a parent and I have kids, can I be involved in ministry? We'd love to talk to you about it. Give us a call at 1-800-338-7060 and 410-483-3700 locally. You can email us at questions@gracehour.org. You can also see us live on gracehour.org and YouTube and Facebook. We're all over. You can see us there. And we're also podcasting. You can catch us on Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Audible, Stitcher, and many, many more. So we'd love to hear from you. Today is a great day. Moms, I want to hear from you. Parents, I want to hear from you as far as your experiences of in the church and raising your kids in a godly manner, and how the church has helped you to do that, and the challenges that you had as a parent growing in that area. So I want to begin, Jamie and Megan, first of all, talking about raising godly kids. How do you really feel the church's role is involved in that? I'll start with you first, Megan.
Hi.
Hi, by the way.
So the church's role in raising my children, okay. Mm-hmm. Is that the question, kind of?
Yes.
Or just godly children?
Well, I would say the two questions are connected, because all the kids that we have access to through our outreaches, but also that come in our church, we're reaching them.
Okay. Yeah, so the church's role is to bring a place where kids can, I think, to bring a place where kids can get together and learn about God, but also build relationships. Hmm. So the child feels like when they go to church, church isn't just a place for mom and dad, but it's a place for them to be able to build connections and to feel like they're a part of the family. Different ways that our church here at Baltimore does that is we have weekly Sunday school programs, we have weekly nursery programs and youth programs, and we also do a lot of events and things like that. So as a parent, to encourage your child to go and be a part of these things and get them connected with other children. And then the leaders and the pastors and the teachers that are there are well equipped to share the word of God with them and to build them up in their faith.
That's always the big challenge, I think, Megan, as a parent. And I know, Jamie, you see this too. Both, by the way, what I love about our show today is that we have parents that are on the show that are on both sides of the table. There are parents who have children in the church, in the ministry, and their parents with children who minister in the ministry. So they not only they understand both sides. And to that end, Jamie, I want to bring this out a little bit. Have you noticed how much parents are nervous about their kids fitting in, being inclusive? It's like, it's one thing when an adult fits in, but there's so much anxiety about my kid, social setting, being separated from me. Megan mentioned that there's different things that the church has as far as programs. What exactly for many ages, what are our outreaches and what are the things that we offer for kids to come fit in and be involved?
Yeah, I mean, we start at a really young age. So, I mean, with the nursery happening every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and you can put your kid in when they're one.
Wow.
So, which is amazing. So that's from 1 to 5. And That's hard for parents, you know. I mean, I couldn't wait for my kids to go in. I mean, one of them was 11 months, and I was like, can she just squeeze it? She's really good. She could go in.
Wow.
But it's not. That's hard for people because sure, sure, especially coming in, maybe I know I grew up in the church, so I know everybody, and I feel extremely comfortable. Yep. But people that maybe have just come, it's like, I don't even know these people, and yeah, they're going to watch my one-year-old?
Yeah.
But I think it's such a great way to kids start to engage and get to know and trust the body and trust the people. And if the parents are comfortable, a lot of times the kids will be comfortable.
True.
And so that's just one of the things we have. And then we have the kindergarten through fifth grade, which Megan is heavily involved in. And then we have our junior teens and teens program, which is middle school and high school. And those are just during services. And then outside of that, we do extra programs like Bible studies. And, you know, Megan does special events for the kids. There's just, I feel like, so much that the kids can be involved in. Like, so it's parents are involved in the church, and then the kids have things that they can have fun and be involved with. And I think if it's a priority to the parent, it really becomes the kid's priority as well.
That's great. That's great. I like that. If it's a priority to the parents. And I think maybe one of the challenges might be as a parent is that I don't know whether it's a priority for my kids. You know, I mean, and by that I mean I don't see the priority of having my kids in church.
Yeah.
If you, on a given service, how many parents do you see who are in church but their kids are not in church?
Yeah.
Or let's just say parents, their church attendance isn't that great. So if mom and dad are coming once a month, it kind of bleeds off, and you're indirectly telling your kids that if church is not important to me, then church is not important to you. And I think as a parent, you have to take a step back and understand the example that you're setting for your kids. Part of raising godly kids is being a godly example. And I think sometimes it's quick to push off on society, to push off on schools, to blame others and say, well, my kid's not godly because da, 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 da. When I could easily say, okay, am I walking with God? Is church part of my life? But I want to also mention this. Megan mentioned relationships. Raising godly children, you're going to deal with their relationships. How do you navigate that with the church? Like I know, like you said, you grew up in the church, and you and I kind of grew up in the church a little bit. Most of your important relationships are in the church.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I guess in one respect, you kind of insulate the relationships that your children have by putting them in the church. And I like the way that you said that from 1 to 16, would I say? Do we have programs for 1 through 16?
Yeah.
18, I'd
even
say.
Even 18.
Yeah.
Wow. So back, I mean, let's just say, okay, I'm in a smaller church, and it's not Baltimore,
mm-hmm,
and we don't get you from 1 to 18. What are some ways that I can somehow make church important in the life of my kids?
I mean, I think for me, like I knew that church was really important to my mom, and she was going to get there, mm-hmm, you know, if it killed her, you know, it was just so important. And I mean, it's not like our God, but I think to her, like, it was so important. And I think that really rubbed off on us kids. And I'm so glad, because mm-hmm, now I've made it a priority for me and my kids to get there and for our family. But I think sometimes, yeah, it can be hard, because I know earlier this week, Pastor Schaller was saying that a lot of people are too soft with their kids. You know, it used to be like maybe a century ago or whatever, I don't know, but people were so hard on their kids.
Sure.
And now we've backed off so much that we're so soft, like, oh, you don't feel well. Oh, you don't want to go, you know? And I remember Jean Marie talking one time in a Bible study and saying, like, that when her kids would say, I don't feel like going to mm-hmm something, I don't feel like going to school, I don't feel like going to church, she's like, that's not good enough.
Wow.
And I really loved that. Like, yeah, we don't go by our feelings. I don't feel like going sometimes, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's good for kids to see that. We don't always feel like going, but
like
why
that.
Do we go? And I think instilling the importance of church and body life to our kids, it really does make them even want to go. And you know, it's not always going to be fun. And I tell my mm-hmm kids that, like, mm-hmm, yeah, sorry, Sunday school wasn't really fun today. Whatever,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
it wasn't fun for me either. Sometimes I feel like I'm getting beat up in the church. I mean, it's such a good message. It's like, ooh.
Thanks for that.
Yeah. But I know, like, okay, how do we get kids involved if you maybe didn't grow up in the church, or
There's the rub. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, okay, maybe some kids might come in. They've never even been to church and they're 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. And it's like, why are we here? What are we doing? Yeah. I think it's kind of a hard question.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe, I guess, and if you create the value of the place, it can lead to the value of God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is home home? You, first of all, there's an individual there,
mm-hmm.
but it's the environment. Why do you think you feel better when you're home? Mm-hmm. There's an environment that's left to say there's no place like home. You know, home is best. Like, when the church has that same vibe to me, it's like, to go down is normal to me. It's what I would do. It's not an option for me. And I think, like you said, if you create that early, like, okay, this is important. Why is it important? Because it's important to mom and dad. It goes a long way towards getting them to value the house of God and getting them to value God. 1 Timothy 4:7 talks about exercising yourself towards godliness. How do I exercise myself as a parent toward godliness? I take part in godly things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I can do that with my children. But I want to ask you this question. What do you think about, scary question, maybe I didn't grow up in the church. Can I trust the church with my kids? A lot of times kids want to be in the programs, but the parents are the ones that have the anxiety. The parents are the ones that have the insecurity. I don't know. You even see some parents will come and get their kids and bring their kids to service, or there's this, pardon the expression, helicopter mom, like, my kid, I got to worry about my kid. Is he okay? His sippy cup's got a dent in it. You know, where's his lunchbox? I know it's Sunday school, but in case he gets hungry, you know, there's a half an apple in there. It's the food in there. It's this whole thing, like, my kid. And I sense sometimes parents leave their kids at home because home is considered safer than the church. So, Megan, I guess the question I'm asking you, Megan, really is how – can I trust the church with my kids?
Yeah, I mean, I think yes, but I also understand what you're saying. So I think in those cases, like coming alongside,
okay.
Like as a parent, we can come alongside those who are with our children. And it doesn't mean we have to be in the classroom with them.
Mm-hmm.
We can come alongside by letting them know that we are interested in what our child is learning in the classroom. And, being there in a not a helicopter way,
mm-hmm.
but in a way of, you know, what can I do at home with my child to assist what you're doing in the classroom? What
mm-hmm.
can I? So these types of things. But also, ultimately, for me, when I've been in situations like that, because I have,
mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a teacher that my son has at different times that I'm like, I just don't think this is a fit. Like closeness to God. Like very close to God in those seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And like, as I'm close to God and talking to God, I feel that God allows us to trust where he wants us to trust.
Beautiful.
And as I do that, it's really interesting because, for me, I'm the children's ministry coordinator, so it's a little bit funny. So I am the person that I would have to trust, if you may, as a parent, I'd have to trust myself. So it's kind of an interesting, situation. But if I have to say, like, so my son, he'll say to me often, Mom, I don't like Sunday school. I don't want to go to Sunday school. I don't like Sunday school.
Which is to your point. Yeah.
You know, and so here I am, the children's ministry coordinator, and I'm like, well, I mean, you're going to go to Sunday school. I mean,
I'm the coordinator.
I'm the coordinator. You can't say that.
Well, you're not allowed to
be. You love Sunday school.
Yeah. Stop saying that. But I think it's important to share here because I have actually had many parents come to me saying,
sure.
My child doesn't like Sunday school. Could you change something in the classroom? Could this teacher do something different?
Mm-hmm.
We always take those into consideration. But my response would also be, my child also doesn't like Sunday school. But what I say to my child is, like what Jamie said earlier, we don't always like what we're doing, but like church is very important to us. And these teachers are teachers that God has given us in this season and in throughout our whole entire lives. We're not always going to like everybody we're working with. We're not always going to like everybody that we come in contact with. There's going to be conflict at different times. So let's use this season that you're in this situation to work together and get through it, because this is a life lesson and this is like church life.
Mm-hmm.
And church life isn't necessarily always easy.
Mm-hmm.
but there's a closeness to God in it. And then as we're close to God, God leads us, and we might have a relationship that we're butting heads, but we don't just say, well, I don't want to go. I don't want to go because I'm butting heads with that person.
Right.
So like I teach my children the same thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I think also too, we have to remember as parents, you don't have a lot of hours with your kid between school and everything else. It's been estimated there's 168 hours in a week. An actual parent who's around and active usually has less than 80 of those hours with their children. Less than 80 in 7 days. So you really are, as much as you want to say, I am raising my children in a godly way, over half the time your kids are not even with you.
It's true, yeah.
So the challenge is, how do I weave church into the hours, and that other 80 or 90 hours, how do I weave church and church life into their life?
Another interesting story that just happened this past Sunday. I think this is really interesting to think about. So we had a newcomer come, and he was in fifth grade, and his grandmother brought him, and they were all new, and his grandmother came back to pick him up, and he whispers to me, or doesn't whisper, says quietly to me, I'm going to leave my jacket here, so my grandma has to bring me next week. And I said,
whatever he thinks.
I said, love it, but not sure we can do that.
Yeah.
You know, so I said, we got to tell your grandma your jacket's in there. So we went to grandma, and he was like, no, I want to leave it here, grandma, because I want you to bring me next week. And I don't know, like, her, she was maybe a little bit gruff. I don't know if she's going to bring him next week, but I think
she left the jacket. I'm trying to tell you.
I know. But
material manipulation. Let's go.
And so I encouraged her, please bring him. Like, he loved it. And I think that's important, listening to our kids.
Yeah.
Like, that
yeah.
child was telling grandma, this meant something to me. Yeah. So grandma should say, like, wow, like, I need to bring him back. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah, it's great. You were going to say something.
Yeah. I mean, I think in some ways, like, we don't have a lot of time with our kids, but that's why, like, in some ways, it's actually so easy. Like, we come alongside the church and we make it a priority. And, like, we have these few hours at church.
Yeah.
And our whole family's going to go. And it's actually just a part of our life. This is part of our hours. So I know for us, like, we don't do any TV during the week because I tell my kids, like, we get home at 4 o'clock after school, and then we go to bed by 8 o'clock. So we have 4 hours together. So yeah. If we're watching TV for 2 hours, it's like, then I only get to see you for 2 hours. So we really try to value that time. And I love it. And it's just a rule that we have in our house and whatever. It's not for everybody, but like we do it. And then also, like, I know Wednesday nights can be really hard because you get home and then it's like, okay, everybody, I have young kids. So it's like, I feel like I'm just dictating all these things. Like, we got to eat dinner. We got to get dressed. We got to go to the bathroom. We got to go. Like, okay, time for church. We got to go.
Yes.
You know, but we try to make it a priority as much as we can. And I actually love it. Like, they know. Like, are we going to church tonight? You know,
beautiful.
Like, they want that. Mm. So I think in some ways, like, yeah, we don't have a lot of time with them, but that's why we do make it a priority. And then it's actually just easy. It's just part of your life. And it's a blessing. Mm. And I'm so glad that we can work alongside the church. I know there's some kids that, you know, we work in the youth ministry and people kind of throw their kids at us like, here, raise my kids. You know, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to have, you know, church values in my home. But
sure.
You guys can talk to them about that. You can counsel my kids. And it's like, actually, the parent is the biggest influence on their kid, not me.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to work together, you know, and we need to have the same values that, you know, we have. It's like, the youth ministry implements these things, but at home, it's nothing's like that. You know, kids are running around wild, you know, so there has to be a balance. And just an example, like, as a parent, you know, I dress a certain way and I want my kids to maybe, you know, be modest and dress a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have that in the youth ministry where we dress a certain way and we're modest. So it's like that all goes together, you know, where if I'm dressing maybe in a sensual way or whatever, and then it's like, well, kids, you can't dress like that. Oh, really? Well, you are, you know, so.
Wow. That's a great point. The word that you two keep using a lot, and I want to bring it in, it's come alongside. Because I don't think when parents come to church, they don't have the mindset of coming alongside caregivers in the ministry. I think on the one hand, as a parent, and Melissa McBurney brings this out in her comment, I want the kids to be able to come to me with their concerns, but at the same time, as a parent, I want to come alongside the caregiver with my kids so that we both have the same mindset about our kids, that we both want the best for our kids. And oftentimes over the years, you've seen this come alongside phraseology not work very well in the school system, for instance. It used to be years ago that the teachers were come alongside with parents for the education of the kids, but now it's adversarial, borderline violent in some situations. Parents walk in with the understanding that my kid is not wrong or the teacher is wrong. There's no come alongside. And you can see this a lot of times. I'm sure both of you have seen this with parents, like, okay, what happened? And sometimes parents will take their children out of a youth program of any level, one all the way up to 18, because of things that happen. Like I said, and I like what she said, there has to be boundaries. You should be free to share your concerns if something's not right. And I like what you said, Megan, that we can discuss it, but I think in a non-adversarial way. We both want the same thing. And this is tough. This is tough because today's kids are parented a different way than, say, 30 years ago. It's not always assumed that the child is wrong. And thank God it's not assumed that, you know. The come alongside has got to be conversational, you know. And I think there's a complicitness that's there where the caregivers have to find ways and means to reach out to parents so that there's a connection. So that I'm not just seeing you when I hand off my kid and then I don't know you. But there's got to be some kind of conversation, some kind of connection. And then if there's connection, if there's friction, because I already have connection, the way we approach the friction is a whole lot different than if you're a complete stranger. And like you said, oftentimes people just, this is like a daycare. The church becomes the unofficial daycare. It's a safe place I can throw my kids and do something, right? And you've seen it. And then they drop them off and they come back. What time is it over? I'm on the way where the movie's almost ending. Yeah. I'll be there.
I got to go to the grocery store.
I'll be there in a minute. And I think as a parent, right? Okay, if I have anxiety and concerns about my kids, it's also I have a complicitness to go and approach the caregiver and say, hey, I don't know you well, but I'd rather not get to know you when there's a problem with my kid. I'd rather get to know you before. So I think that's important.
Well, that's where, like, the relationship side comes in, which we were talking about earlier. You know, like, I can form a relationship with my kid's teacher or the leader or the youth leader or whatever, and then when a conflict does come, I feel comfortable to say, you know, my kids, which I've had to do, my kid is young, and I've had to say, they're saying this, I don't know if it's true or not. I know we were talking about it yesterday. I'm going to hear my kid out and say, okay, I'm going to listen to this issue that you have. But before I fly off the handle and, you know, let it get crazy, I'm actually going to go to the teacher and ask them some questions. And then I'll come back and discuss with you what I figured out, you know. Or also, like, I've had something happen and then I've actually had to pray about it for a week and say, I don't know how to deal with this, God. Wow. Like, this is, like, beyond me, you know. It's very disturbing what I'm hearing right now, and how should I deal with it? And I think being led by God is such a huge thing. You know, we have a relationship with God, first of all, relationship with our kids, and I want my kid to feel free to come to me and say, okay, my mom's going to actually listen, and she's going to go and advocate to the teacher for me, you know, because when they're young, it's like they don't even really maybe process what they're hearing or what's happened. So I can talk to my mom and then she can go to the teacher and then we can all discuss it. And because we all have a relationship, it's actually not intimidating. It's like effortless. Wow. And it actually can even deepen our relationship with the teacher or even with our kids as well.
Excellent.
And it's great.
Beautiful. And I think it, to your point, I think it also teaches our children how to respect authority.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, as we're doing it that way and we hear our kids, we validate our children. Like, my son came to me last week about an issue that happened at school, and I listened to him and I heard him, and I was like, I'm sorry, that's frustrating, that's really frustrating. But I didn't even feel the need to go in this situation to go to the teacher, because the teacher made a decision and we as a family are going to respect and support that decision. And it was a very small thing that bothered him. It wasn't something big. So scale-wise, it could be different. But I think as we respond that way to our kids, it teaches our kids, like, okay, so, like, I do respect my teacher. But I also am safe to come to mom. She hears me. She validates me. She listens to me. And then if it's a greater thing and we go to God and God leads us
great
to go
balance
to a teacher, then we do, right?
Thank you, ladies. This is awesome. We'd love to hear from you again. Reach out to us, 1-800-338-7060, or call us locally at 410-483-3700. Write in questions, call in. Please call in. Mothers, I want to hear from you. Parents, I want to hear from you, because some of these things we're talking about, you're living. You're absolutely living this. One of the fastest, right now, more and more parents are coming to church with their kids, and they have these concerns. I'd love to hear your concerns. I'd love to hear your comments. Call us. Please call in. And also, we'd like to get your questions. You can reach out to us through Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music. Reach out to us that way, or reach out to us through gracehour.org, or YouTube or Facebook. You can write in like Ms. McBurney has done so. We'd love to hear from you. I want to, before we continue, I want to park here for a second. When you said there's conflict, conflict is the word. This is why a lot of parents leave churches. It's not the pulpit. Something has happened with their kids. I don't mean in a criminal way, but I just mean in just a controversial way, a conflict way. Something has happened. I can tell you, parents I've talked to, I put my son in the Sunday school, some other kid picked on him or something was said, and rather than try to sort it, they just pulled their kid out of the Sunday school, and they left the church. They just left. So my question is, what counsel, what advice or tips would you give moms and dads concerning conflict, concerning your kids in a youth program on any level, whether it's nursery, Sunday school, on any level? What kind of tips would you give? I'll start with you first, Megan.
Yeah, so I think as a premise to conflict, to keep in mind, like a good antidote, if you may, to bitterness, frustrations, angers towards someone is thankfulness. So I think trying to find a thankful heart towards the people that are ministering to your children, whatever that takes. Several years ago, one of our teachers at GGCA, I was spending some time with her, and she said to me, if you have a parent that's thankful, it can change the whole course of the year.
Wow.
It can make a bad year a good year. Mm. And that stuck with me. As a parent, I was like, okay, these people teach our children. So I thought about it, and I thought, how do I do that? Well, a way to do it is by serving. You can serve, whatever that looks like. So that's, I think, a good start to like keeping conflict at bay. Mm-hmm. So then when conflicting things do come in, we have this premise of, okay, thankfulness. Okay, so let me just stop. Like, say our child tells us something. Okay, let me stop. Let me think. Someone's been bullying my child at children's ministry. Okay, I heard them. I hear them. And now the next step after prayer and speaking to your husband perhaps could be, I'm going to go to whoever it is. Maybe it's the leader. Maybe it's the teacher. Now, it's not always a telltale it's going to work out perfect, right? Maybe the teacher responds in a way you completely disagree with, and then more conflict arises. So then in that case, you can, I think, always keeping your emotions at bay, trying to keep things objective, and like keeping a conversation going. Like, because we are open, speaking from the youth ministry side, we are very open to parents coming to us. So always feel as though you can come to us. And then you can always go up the chain, too. There's people always higher, and you can talk to other people. And I think a resolution will be found. But like you said, they don't come to people.
No.
Come to us. But we would ask that you come objectively after time with prayer with the Lord, you know?
Yeah, the thing, Megan, is this. It's my kids. Let's be honest.
I understand.
It's my kids. This is my seed. This is my bloodline. And so it's like Matthew 18.
Yeah.
No one gets themselves in order and then goes to the brother alone.
Yeah.
They're full of you, and then they go to your brother alone.
Because you're frustrated.
Yeah.
And
plus, this is your kid. I mean, you're working hard. You're like, okay, I came to church. The last thing I expect is a problem with my kids.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's the one place I expect there should be no issues. It's like, oh, nothing happens. Meanwhile, they don't know what's happening. So then you're like, whoa, what happened? He said, what? And then, of course, the kids is narrating the story in any direction that they want to, which is just setting up all kind of red flags, Jamie. So you're sitting there going, okay, excuse me, is Mr. So-and-so here? I'd like to see him right now. It doesn't matter. He's in the way. Well, he's what? I'm right now. Drop what you're doing, because my kid is more important than anybody else in this building. So, Jamie, how do you handle that? As a parent, I want to be concerned for my kids. My kids bring me something. The other side of that is, I'm pretty much going to make an incident. This is going to be an event.
Yeah.
Call Channel 13. We're getting ready to move some furniture.
It's all you, Jamie.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like when our kids hurt, we hurt, right?
Yeah,
and I think
you.
That's why we are so, like, Mama Bear comes out, and it's like,
yeah.
you know, and maybe there's something that we're working on with our kids, you know, like, let's try not to, you know, make a big deal about stuff. If you feel like you're getting bullied, you know, maybe we're working on it at home and then it happens here and we're like, what?
Exactly.
I've been working so hard.
We're moving furniture.
You know, like, and it's like the most shocking place that it would happen would be the church. Cause you feel like this is a safe place and no one's going to be, you know, hurting my kids. But, you know, kids are coming from all different backgrounds to the church and they're going to say sometimes whatever they want to say.
Yes.
And maybe the teacher doesn't even catch it. Maybe it's something that's happening behind the scenes and the teacher's so oblivious, you know, they don't know. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest mistake we could really make would to be, okay, let's just get out of the program. Let's leave. Let's do this. Because like we were saying yesterday, Megan, like that's just going to teach our kids, oh, you're having a hard time at work now that you're 20 years old. Well, you can just leave. Wow. You know, you're having a hard time in eighth grade. Oh, don't worry. We'll just homeschool. It's like, you know, that's just going to teach them just avoid the problem. Don't deal with the problem. Just get out of there. You know, and that's really the worst mistake. And we have a problem maybe with the church. Maybe I have a problem with Pastor Schaller, whoever. Oh, I'll just leave. You know, what is that teaching your kids?
Wow. Right.
That's teaching them. Oh, well, I'm just going to do the same thing, you know, and they're going to have conflict and you're going to have conflict and maybe even in your family, you're going to have conflict.
Okay.
And how do you deal with that? Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about it. You know, it's not always going to be an easy conversation. It might be really, really difficult and it might be painful.
Yes.
And maybe you're not going to get the answer that you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay. What am I going to do?
Okay. Now we're going to flip this because both of you guys aren't just people that are parents in the ministry. You're actually caregivers who take care of parents' kids. And I'm going to ask you the same thing about conflict on the other side of the table. But first, we have a caller on the line from Marlboro, Massachusetts. Beth Longball, call us back, dear. Call us back. While Beth is trying to call us back, I like the way you guys approach, but I have to say you guys have a bit of a bias because you're in the ministry. So you're living the other side.
We're like, it's fine. It's great.
We're okay,
people. Everything will be fine.
You guys are the promo ad for church ministry. Like, hey, come put your kids in here. So you got the whole vibe. So in other words, it's easy, I think, for both of you guys to say, well, you know, you pray, you know, you fast, you burn incense.
That's
you know.
What we want people to do.
Yeah, and then they come moderately, where they got like a cloak on, they come in slowly, I was to make some time with you, and the mood music in the background, and you guys just hug it out. But more often than
sounds
not.
Sounds lovely.
It's a strange person, and they're usually new, or sometimes, and this is interesting, they've been in the ministry for a while. And they have a certain expectation for their kids because they're my kids and I've been around for a while. You need to treat my kids a certain way. Mm. That's also there's a bit of entitlement that happens a lot with youth ministry and kids at every level is so-and-so's kid, you know. So I want to flip it on the other side. Now let's say you're a worker, you're a caregiver, and you are dealing with conflict. You're dealing with someone who's like coming at you. How would you handle it? Because right now, in many of the branch ministries in smaller churches, they're not as well staffed. To be honest with you, you got one person dealing with multiple age groups. You may have one or two youth workers without a lot of training, without a lot of experience. There might even be a volunteer stepping in. Okay, and there's a parent as a parent coming in. I'm coming in, and I'm angry. I'm coming in hot.
And it's your friend.
And by the way, you know me.
Yeah, and you're my friend.
Or the other way, I'm not your friend. I don't even know you. I just put my kid in the Sunday school today, and he comes back crying. What's wrong? He's got a busted lip. What happened? Yeah. Megan, how do you handle me?
Yeah, those are hard situations. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, those are hard situations. And it's like the minute you see a parent coming up to you and saying, can I talk to you? Like, you're like, ugh. Yes.
Well, they don't say, can I talk to you? That's the best. Can I talk to you?
Well, the body language says it all.
You got a minute? Excuse me?
If Pastor Ronaldo was coming in hot and heavy, I would be scared.
I'd be like, Jamie!
Who's in charge here? Jamie, who? What? I need names. Oh, no, sorry. So that's happening. So what do you do with that?
I think listening to the parent, allowing the parent to express, vent, whatever word you want
explode.
To put there.
Keep going.
Explode. Sure.
Boom.
Because that's our job. Our job is to be there to listen to this and to like take on what they're feeling. Because and it's not to just deflect and like defend and to react. Like that's not my job. That's not what I would want as a parent going to someone, right?
Yes.
So like in return.
So like listening and hearing, and typically, personally, I don't often say a whole lot. I listen because it's like, I don't know the whole story.
Yeah.
I don't know everything that's going on. And then I always say like, okay, I'm, you know, like, please like talk to, you know, maybe Pastor Pete or whoever else, as well as talking to me. I'm happy to hear you. And like, we're going to work this together as a team. Like, we're going to be on this together as a team. We're going to, I'll talk about it in the meeting. And like, and then it's really addressed. It's, I listen, but then I just don't shove it out. Okay, that mom was just overreacting. Maybe next week they will have forgotten it.
Okay.
No, like, we bring it up in our meetings. We talk about it. We address it. We give more space for the mom to feel like this was resolved. And sometimes it's not resolved, like you said. And I wish that I could say that I know how to fix that, but I don't. But I think just for me, it's listening and understanding. And okay. Then I push it on Pastor Pete.
Well done. Here's a classic call center word. I'm going to escalate this. Escalate you. Hold on. Please hold. Before I get to Jamie's answer, because I know she's got a phenomenal answer.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be a lot of colorful in her answer. Beth, are you there?
I am here.
Oh, my God. Good Beth Longbow from Marlboro, Massachusetts. Good morning and welcome to Grace Hour.
Thank you very much. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Welcome.
Now, you have raised kids in the ministry all the way through, from soup A to Z, soup to nuts. You've done it.
Yes, I have.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been me? Have you ever been that parent who, like, wait a minute, something happened, I'm not happy, I'm going to go talk to somebody? Have you ever had that conflict before?
Always.
Really, Beth?
But I think a good verse. I was looking for a verse this morning. I got one from James. It was James 1:2.
Okay.
It says, count it all joy, brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Mm. And if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all. Parenting or being in ministry is a combination of all those things.
Uh-huh.
You are always in various trials, right?
Yes, yes.
You know, I had three kids. Other people have more. There's always trials. There's always questions. There's always difficulty. There's always a need for discernment. Always. And so I think we constantly find ourselves going before the throne of God and asking for wisdom, because, man, you never know, right? What you do with one child is not what you do with another child.
Yes.
The way you deal with Christian Ed is maybe not the way you deal with the school you're in or the youth program. Everybody's different. Every person's different. And almost every leading of the Holy Spirit is different. Remember that word Pastor Stevens taught us, circumspectly?
Yes.
It's like carefully proceeding, almost like a cat on a fence. They're so able to do it, but they just do it circumspectly. And I think that's how you're really called to live, because every situation needs a different answer from God in how to deal with it. And then when we fail, right, because we've blown up or we haven't done well in someone's eyes, I think the need for even more doctrine, right? You go to Romans, and there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because we fail, right? We either get mad at someone or they get mad at us.
Yep. Beautiful.
Rightfully so or not. And,
Let me ask you a question, Beth. Have you ever... I won't use the word explode because I can't imagine Beth Womble ever being upset. But have you ever, like, approached the child caregiver and then you found out later it was exactly the opposite and you were wrong? It wasn't what you thought it was. Because no one comes to the – when you come – you usually don't come like an investigator. You come like an accuser usually. It'd be great if you came as an investigator and said, okay, what happened? But most of the time, you come to indict. This is what's happening. Have you ever done that? And then on the other side of that, you found out later you were completely wrong?
Oh, I'm sure. You can't raise kids. And sometimes you don't even know, right?
Oh, wow.
Sometimes you never find out. You never find out until your kids are well into their 20s. They're married. They have their own children.
Oh, no.
Full disclosure. Wow.
You had no idea, right? Wow. You had no idea.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that you're always filled with the Spirit because hopefully that other person has forgiven you. or you don't go to that school anymore, or whatever it is.
And we're out. Yes.
But,
wow. That's amazing.
I do remember one time someone coming after my daughter.
Oh, wow.
And man, they weren't really a Christian. And my eagle talons came out. They came out. And I sunk them in. Deep.
Wow. Okay. Beth, you're getting really visual.
And it's who I'm married to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I was trying to keep Pastor Doug clean and out of this. But since you brought him up, because you both are co-parenting, three kids. And they're in ministry. I'm glad it was you and not Pastor Doug.
Well, the story goes on that, you know what, I did. I sunk my teeth in.
Okay.
Or my talons, as it were. And my daughter was, she was a grown-up. She was over 18, right?
Uh-huh.
And she couldn't even believe I came to her rescue.
Wow.
Right? She really saw that. And she saw, you know, maybe God in me just exercising my authority in these situations. Because, you know, they are our kids.
Mm. Yes.
And they are given to us by God.
Mm-hmm.
And the world is evil.
Mm.
And sometimes you have to get your talons out. Mm. And I don't mean against brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't mean that. We use the weapons of our warfare for the world. We don't use them in the body of Christ. For that, we have the fruit of the Holy Spirit for that.
Mm.
But with the world, we have to wield our weapons, and we have to know how to use them.
Mm.
And it's important to know the difference. Like in this situation, it wasn't a body member. It wasn't part of the body of Christ. And It had to end. It had to end.
Mm-hmm.
And I had authority in that situation to cause it to end. But my daughter heard of it. She wasn't even there. She heard of it, and it blessed her. And then it also taught her how to make those differences with her children now.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So it's not quite applicable to what you guys were talking about, but it's sort of the other side, you know.
Yeah, sure.
God wants us to have such wisdom in so many aspects, and but the way you deal with body members and the church and the body of Christ is very different than how you deal with the world.
Yeah,
very different.
I like that. I think the word where you've been using today is come alongside, and as a parent, if I'm coming alongside the body, we're both seeing the same thing, or we at least have the same spirit or the same attitude. We want what's best for the kid. And like Jamie said, the church is not taking your place as parents, right? But we're coming alongside, and we're raising up together, and that's our contribution toward the godly kid that we're raising up. The church is a big part of that. And I like the way you said that, Beth, that there's going to be other relationships outside, but our kids need to see a consistent example that we're for them, that we're for them. I love that.
Right.
Thanks a lot, Beth, for calling. God bless you, dear heart.
You're welcome. Thank you guys for being on.
Great. Thank you. Now I'm going to go to Jessica Norman also in Marlboro, Massachusetts. Hi, Jess.
Hi.
How are you?
How is everybody? Good.
Hey, Jess.
I'm surrounded by mothers here.
Yeah, it's hard to follow Beth Lombault. She's my buddy in action.
Wow. I'm sure she would love for you to follow her. Let me ask you a question, because you've done both. You've not only done the mom who's put your kids in the church caregiving program for young people. You've also been one. You've worked with young people as well.
Yeah, I had a comment. I was listening a little bit back ago how you were saying when you're with your children and if sometimes you're not with them for 40 hours a week because they're in school,
yep.
how do we minister the gospel and the word of God in their lives? And I would say my kids are in public school, so that was very practical to what I go through weekly. And one thing I would say is I coach and my husband coaches their teams. So yes, we're not with them 40 hours during the week, but we volunteer at the school.
Excellent.
And we minister to the children in our community. And not only that, but our children see how we minister the gospel to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
we're showing them how to reach out and show the gospel in a very practical way. And not only that, but when they have questions, hey, mom, this kid said something. Then we bring the Bible right there, and right in that practical situation, we can explain how we think with God.
I like that. And I also like the fact of the example that you give that your kids are in public school, because I think sometimes, often, there's this assumption that, okay, if my kids go to a Christian school, then that takes the pressure off. But you're saying that there's a way that I can minister Christ to my kids, regardless of what school they go to, I can still raise godly kids.
Yes, and not only that, be a light and minister to the community.
Yes.
And showing our children how to do that. And we are all missionaries wherever we are, and we're even teaching our children in second grade, first grade, fifth grade, how to be a missionary in their own little world, in their own little lives.
Beautiful. I like that. And I like the part where you say coming alongside is me getting involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just me introducing myself to, you know, Megan or Jamie, say, hi, how are you? I'm so-and-so's parent. But actually being involved, like volunteering at school, being a part of what they're doing, getting into their world and in their community and being an example. That's a beautiful, beautiful testimony, Jessica.
Yeah, because then we can teach our kids to think with God in their world. And I think that's the hardest part that we go up against.
Yes.
Every day as parents, is teaching our children how to think with God.
Beautiful. Thanks, Jess. That's awesome thoughts. Great comments. Thank you, dear.
Love you guys. Thank you.
God bless you.
Bless you.
I'm going to ask Megan, Jamie the question. I've been holding her off for 35 minutes for, because now it's completely left her mind. So let's come back to,
let's see.
Back to Jamie. You might need some new notes. Okay, I'm a youth worker. How do I deal with an angry parent?
I was just thinking, like, as a youth worker, like why, what's my motivation of working with the youth?
Mm-hmm.
We love the kids. Mm-hmm. We love the families.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when somebody already comes to me and they're upset, I've already made a decision that I love this person.
Mm.
And sometimes it's hard because maybe I don't even know them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're a new face I've never seen. But I've already made the decision that I love the families that are in these programs. And what can I do? You know,
wow.
And I, as a leader, a lot of times, like, we have to take the blame. You know, wow. Like, I'm sorry that the teacher reacted like that. I wasn't even around.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go ahead and take the blame on this one. I know when I used to run the nursery, I had this mom, and it was kind of sad, but she came to me one time, and her daughter had some special needs, and it was a difficult situation, and her daughter would come, and a little bit, like, she'd get there, and we're like, oh, you're here. I'm so glad you're here. And it was like, we kind of dreaded it a little bit.
Oh, wow.
And the mom came to me and said, I feel like when I bring my daughter, like, I don't know if people like her coming, like maybe they're dreading it. And I was like, oh no, she sees right through us. But I just said to her, like, oh my gosh, I would never want you to feel that way. Like, we actually love your daughter. And it was a little bit hard to say, because in some ways we do love your daughter, but in some ways I was like, oh, the class runs so easy when she's not here. You know, it was just like a different environment. But I was like, what this mom really needs to hear is that we love her and we want her to keep coming, because she would keep her daughter home sometimes thinking, well, it's just easier on the youth leaders if I don't have her come.
Let me park right there.
Yeah.
That's a hot button, because there's a lot of parents whose kids could be have attention issues, have special needs of any kind. And they feel in some respects, that the church is not a proper place for them, not a safe place for them, not an accessible place for them. So I'll keep my kids at home. And what would you say to those parents?
Yeah, I mean, it's like we will do the best that we can to serve this family and to help the kids grow in our program. And now we have a special needs program with Alicia Williams.
Yeah. Yes.
And she's
beautiful.
Amazing.
Yes,
and she goes out of her way to not just serve during church services as much as she can with her staff, but she also takes them out on special like bowling or horseback riding or thing. She's amazing. So there's also a connection there.
Okay.
But I think for us, like, we do the best that we can. And then if we come to a place where it's like, wow, this is maybe really not the place for this child, maybe it's just beyond our staff and our volunteers, then we can direct them that way to Alicia. But I think overall, when an angry parent comes in, or just a parent that maybe feels like, you know, does my kid have a place here? Do you guys even care?
Yeah.
You know, they just want to be heard and they want to be loved.
yeah. That's the big thing, Jamie, is that, and you pointed this out too, Megan, that sometimes people can feel like I'm not being heard. And that's not just a microcosm of their relationship. It's a microcosm of life. Everywhere people go, social media explodes because it gives people a venue to be heard. So when I come and I've got a complaint or problem with my kid, are you listening to me? Do you even know who I am? Are you validating who I am by listening to me? And do you even care? You know, I mean, no parent's going to ever say, you don't love my kid, but I want you to care for my kid. And I want that's got to come across. And as a minister, I think that's what's important. So I think that's a great thought to have.
Yeah. And I know when I used to do the nursery, just remembering people's names and the kids' names, I mean, that just meant so much. You know, maybe I've met them twice and I'm like, oh, hey, Jim. And they're like, oh, you remember his name? You know, like that was shocking to them.
Wow.
I ran into a family. I mean, we were like out in another event at like a different at Beachmont. And I ran into this family and I'm saying all the names of the kids. And the dad was just so baffled. And I was kind of baffled myself because I'm not the best with names. But he was just like, oh. He's like, who are you? Like, he didn't even know who I was. And I'm rambling off his kid's name, saying hi to all of them. And it was just like, I think such a blessing to him because he realizes how personal the body is and that we took time to get to know his kids and we took time to love them and invest in them. And
beautiful.
I'm like, oh, how's your daughter doing? I know she has this maybe physical issue. And it's like, wow, you remember that? But that means a lot. And I think as a parent on the flip side, that means a lot. You know, that would mean a lot to me as a mom.
Yes. Two quick questions, then we're going to close the program because we are running out of time. First question I want to ask you, Megan, is this, because you're now ministering in the ministry and you have kids. How do you give your kids what they need while also pouring time into the ministry?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's something that, you know, I've had to learn to navigate. But basically, we make time in our home. For us, it's Friday evening. Every Friday evening is family night. Nothing touches it. Very rarely, I'll say very rarely does something touch it. That's our family night. We get home from school and we're just there. So that's a big thing that helped us. But another fun thing that we do is, like, because I'm involved with the children's ministry and my kids are in the children's ministry, they minister with me.
Beautiful.
You know, they come with me. They're very much a part of every piece of it. And I also try to keep them at bay that, okay, you guys aren't in charge. You're still one of the other children here. Because they like to think,
how's that working out?
So far, so good.
That's my mom.
But I just wanted to really comment quickly on something Beth said that's really sticking with me. She brought out discernment.
Yeah.
And I just really, like, that is huge as a mom and as a youth worker to be able to sit back and pray and ask God for the discernment on every situation. Mm-hmm. And in that closeness with the Lord and in the discernment, He leads us in what's best as a youth leader. And I know we're short on time, but can I tell a funny story or
go
should
for
I not?
It.
So as a youth leader and as a mom, one evening at children's ministry, I'm not going to give away ages. One of my sons, his teacher came out of the class and said, Megan, I have to send your son out, this child out, this child out, and this child out. It's not good. And I was like, oh my God, like, what's going on? So I was like, okay. So then the teacher took me aside and said, well, your son and these other children were cursing in the class. And I was just like, oh my God, like my child is the one, like I'm supposed to be this.
These church kids.
Yeah. Okay,
great.
Here we go.
That's not a good look for the family.
So I was just
we're not looking good.
Woo, okay, yeah. So I sat them all on the couch where the kids will sit when they go out. And then I walk out into the family center and I'm like, Lord, like, what do I even say? I have to talk to these other parents. I have to discipline my son. It was just so overwhelming for me, wow. But funny too, because yeah. Like, so then in that moment, like God gave the discernment and I spoke to them all. And then I was able to speak to each of the parents and say, you're not alone. My child is also one of these children.
I'm also.
Because I think that's a hard thing too, is when we have to go to a parent. Yeah. Hey, your child did this. In this case, it worked out because I was able to say, look, see my son, he's there too. It's not just your kids. But I thought that was a really funny story as a children's, like as the coordinator, that my child was amongst the.
Wow.
Guilty as charged.
Yeah, guilty as charged.
All right, Jamie, let me ask you this question. You got kids, you're in the ministry, you have kids in the ministry. What comes first, your ministry or your kids?
I would say, like, there's different seasons in life. So I was kind of thinking about this question, and I was thinking about Pastor Schaller when he was raising his family and then got called to go to Europe without his family. And it's like, looking at that, you know, I could say, well, he definitely chose the ministry over his family because his family was here in the U.S. and then he's over in Europe. And it's like, you know, wow, how did you make that decision? But yeah. I feel like he was so led by God. And as a family, they made that decision. And I just think it's a beautiful story. And I think for us, there's different seasons in my life. There's some times where my kids, they really need me and I'm there for them. Yeah. And then there's times where I have to tell them, you know what? I'm going to go serve. And I actually always explain to them what I'm doing. So I love working with the teens and the young people. And I say to them, you know, I'm going to go to this Bible study tonight and I'm going to do this with these young girls. And they love hearing it, you know. And I think it's so fun to kind of have them involved, and yet they can't always be there. But I think to know that, you know, mom is doing this and hey, I want to do that when I get older, you know, it's really rubbing off on them. And I think it's hard. But also our kids are our ministry. Yeah. So it's not just like I'm involved in this ministry, but really I have my kids that I'm ministering to as well.
I love that. It's not either or.
Yeah.
So I don't think I have to make the choice. I think I have discernment, like you said, times and seasons, right? And Acts chapter 1, verse 5, it's not for us to know the times and seasons. God knows that. Mm-hmm. So God knows when I focus on one and when I focus on the other. Yeah. Awesome stuff. Thanks for joining us today on Grace Hour. We close out this week on raising godly children. Folks, you can do it. It's possible, and the church is a big part of it. Tune in again next week. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to YouTube, Apple, Google, and Spotify. And we'll see you next week. God bless.
Bye.
Bye.